You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier, I spoke with Mark Jennings, who's been serving as a panellist on the People's Commission on Public Broadcasting in the Media. I started off by asking Mark if he could reflect on the process and the kind of people that he met while he was travelling around the country.
The process was a really interesting one. In February and March of this year, we travelled the country and had a series of public meetings. The panel, if you like, was Bill Ralston, Kay Elmers, Lance Wigg, Shamabil Equib, I'm sorry about that, Shamabil, pronouncing your second name, and Lizzie Marvely and myself. We went to Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, Dunedin, Nelson. We didn't all go to every town ourselves. We split that work between us. One of the things that came out of it, and from my point of view, was that the people that did turn up to the meetings were very concerned about the state of the media. Originally, this started off as a People's Commission into broadcasting, but we soon widened it out to include the whole media, because the media these days, as you'll know, is so mixed, if you like. Broadcasters are digital as well as being radio and television. Newspaper chains have digital and radio arms. So the newsrooms are really converged and integrated, so it made sense to look at the whole media. The people that we met, I think, were very concerned about the state of the media. They did not think it was in good shape. They were very dedicated to the idea of public media and having a strong and thriving Radio New Zealand. They were worried about the deteriorating trends around things like clickbait, entertainment news, and a lack of serious news and current affairs. In a way, though, none of that surprised me. It's my own view as well.
Obviously, a big focus was on public broadcasting and the state of that within New Zealand, but private broadcasting is a huge percentage of our total broadcasting. How were people understanding the role of private broadcasting within trying to fix the model of public broadcasting? Were they still interested in talking about it, or for them, the entire issue is the public broadcasting?
Some were entirely focused on public broadcasting, but I think a big chunk of the people we talked to felt that we had to have a strong private sector as well. That was the view of the panellists as well, because competition, if you like, is the lifeblood of a healthy media. You need it for democracy as well, and the private or commercial media play a very vital role in that. And they have been withering in the last decade or so. Public media have at least, even though most of them have suffered from inadequate or frozen funding, at least that funding has been stable to an extent, whereas the revenues into commercial and private media have been falling. And it's a major problem. So, yes, major group were concerned about the overall state of the media.
In terms of maintaining diversity of content and audience, which is one of the principles that this report has published, saying this is something that we need to be considering. For those people living outside of the urban centres, rural communities, more isolated areas, do you feel that their opinions would have been represented in this report? Or because maybe the gathering information took place in the cities, these people's opinions might still be left outside of the consensus a little bit?
I think that's a fair point. Obviously, we couldn't go to every town. I think, though, we tried as a group to think as widely as we could. And certainly, you know, there are other areas too, like young people and children. You know, they weren't really represented in the audiences or the people that turned up to the meetings. But we had people like Lizzie Marvely and Kay Elmers who were strongly focused on that and made sure they had a voice, if you like, in the overall inquiry. So, and I think, you know, we were aware that New Zealand is not just about Auckland or Wellington. And in the report's findings, I think we did consider, you know, the thoughts of everybody in the country.
New Zealanders seem to be holding on to this idea of a free and fair media that it's that is accessible when you like it for everyone. But a lot of major news organisations around the world have moved to a pay-for-content model. Is this something that we're going to be seeing more and more of in New Zealand as we move along? Or is this report going to potentially help increase or look towards increasing funding? That would be the goal of this, to avoid that sort of model.
You've hit upon really the absolute crux, I think, of the problem, the media, or the dilemma that the media faces. Commercial media in this country should have moved to a paywalls earlier. It's almost too late now, and this is a real problem. One of the issues, though, for media, which I think is really unique in many ways to New Zealand, is our small population. We don't have scale. So this makes it really hard for commercial media in this country now, because it's fragmented to a huge extent. I think what we really need is to have the commercial sector with some sort of paywall, so that, if you like, going back to the old newspaper model, that people actually paid for the newspaper. We need to have this situation in terms of people paying for online content. But we always need a free and public media, in my view. And that's always been the role of the state. If you look at the BBC, the ABC, the NBC here originally, and now it's RNZ and to a lesser extent TVNZ. But we need to have both, and is trying to get both, adequately funded and healthy and thriving. But it's become very difficult in recent times because the state funding, the public funding, has not kept up or not kept pace with inflation. And of course, the commercial media has seen its revenues fall dramatically. And, you know, their inability to move to paywalls has been really difficult. I don't think they can survive on an advertising-only model.
Talking about how to survive on an advertising-only model, one of the recommendations of this report is to reinstate a charter in some face.
Yes.
We've had that in New Zealand in the past. This has been something that we've had and we've removed. Is returning to past models and past ways of doing this the right way to be moving forward, or should we be looking at new opportunities and new revenue streams?
I understand where you're coming from on that, although I think your perception of the charter might be slightly wrong here. I think you're probably thinking back about the TVNZ day charter when that organisation had one. The report is recommending an overall charter for any organisation that gets public money, you know, to meet those criteria of being independent, etc. So there's slight difference here. I think if we were to reinstate a charter for TVNZ and that organisation only, that would be going back to, if you like, to an older model. But essentially the report was saying, if you're going to take any public money, then you need to meet certain criteria. And that was the aim of a charter. You know, I think the revenue question is a little bit distinct to that, or separate to that. And the funding really has to happen in two ways. And the report came up with quite a lot of recommendations on that. But the state funding that is currently there needs to be increased. And then we also need to look at new revenue streams. And the report had some recommendations for that.
I wanted to move back to something you said earlier. You mentioned the ideas of clickbait and just sort of the dropping in standards potentially of the media that people are taking in, the media that people are receiving either online or through TVNZ or whoever it may be. Another recommendation to come out of the report is to increase media literacy, and critical analysis. So teaching people in schools how to actually analyse what they're taking in. Was this something that was brought up by a lot of people in the meetings? Was this something that people were quite concerned about?
Yes, it was. It did come up quite a lot. And it came up in sort of two ways. And one, that people felt there was particularly in younger generations, there was a lack of understanding of civics, as we call it. You know, what democracy is about, what separation of powers is about, as opposed to, for instance, independent judiciary, and the fourth estate, independence of the media. And the second one was, and this is reflected in the report too, that a lot of younger people didn't really know what a trustworthy news service is and what you need to look for. And so that it was felt quite strongly that, you know, when you're getting your news through Facebook and an algorithm is deciding on what you're getting, you can end up with a very skewed view of the world. So the thoughts were that part of the school curriculum should be teaching people to be, you know, have some critical media analysis going on when they consume media. And we all thought that was a really good idea and really essential, so that we, you know, continue to have the sort of society that New Zealand's enjoyed for so long, but now seems to be under a bit of threat.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.